religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. It's right from St. James, the second reading today. And a few months ago, actually it's more than that, about a year and a half ago, when that Santa Monica place at the end of 3rd Street Promenade, when that was refurbished and reopened, I was walking down among all those glittering new stores, and I saw one that said "True Religion" on it, and this is interesting in Santa Monica Place. So I went in, and do you know what true? Well, they sell jeans. I was hoping for some theological spin on what, or an insight into whatever they were doing there. But Jesus tonight is really addressing true religion, and his words are from the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Well did the prophet Isaiah prophesy about you that this people pay lip service, but their hearts are far from me." And in getting at this, I mentioned the political conventions that are going on. We happen to be sandwiched between the Republican convention and the Democratic convention. And if hypocrisy is saying one thing and then doing another, then often politicians are in that position of doing that. And when we listen to them, and I think I'm a politics, a junkie. And in any case, I listen to every speech that I can hear. I really want to be informed, in listening to them, you know when someone's going over the top, and when they're at least attempting to tell the truth, I think, and all of that. So it's really important for us as citizens to be well informed and to know what they're saying out there, but also to be wise and discerning and not be taken in by one politician after another who ends up really being hypocritical. If they're saying one thing and they really are going to do another, and they know it. Now, sometimes they say one thing, they really believe it, and when they get in office, they know they can't do it, so they have to adjust and all of that. Don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but hypocrisy, if you're looking for a good, safe definition, is saying one thing and then doing another, whether you intend to or not. And you might remember Milli Vanilli a generation ago. They had to give their Grammy Award back because they were caught lip-syncing, not lip-syncing their own songs. They were lip-syncing someone else's songs and claiming that they were theirs. So that was clear-cut hypocrisy on their part. And we know of a lot of other instances. I won't get into those. But there's a kind of hypocrisy that we might even be unaware of. And I'd like to use a story that comes from John Shea, and it goes like this. He says, "Every night when my father came home from work, he would do the same thing. I was 6, and every night I watched him. We lived on the second floor, and I could hear him coming up the stairs before I could see him. When he came through the door, I was there. He would pat me on my crew cut, take off his hat, and plop it on my head. All this was done while he was making his way to the bedroom. And while I was following, pushing the hat back on my head so I could see, my father was a policeman. He carried a gun in a holster at his hip. Once, as we were walking toward the bedroom, I asked him if he could draw fast enough with the gun that high up. 'It's not like that,' he said. On the top shelf in the closet of my mother and father's bedroom was a wooden safe My father had made it to size, and it was a snug fit, perfect height and perfect depth. On the shelf next to the safe was a key. With his back to me, my father would open the closet door, take the key off the shelf, and open the safe. And then he would take off his belt and holster, take the gun out of the holster. The holster and belt would be rolled up and stuffed way back in the safe. Notice how he knows all the details of this. Then he would open the cylinder of the gun, and the bullets would slide out onto his hand. He would put the bullets in a dish that was inside the safe, and then he would put the gun inside the safe, lock it, and put the key on the shelf. This is what he would do every night when he came home, and I watched. Well, one night, after he had put the bullets in the dish, he turned and walked over to me, and he was holding the gun by the barrel. Without saying anything, he offered me the handle. I took it. Its heaviness surprised me. My arm fell to my side. Quickly, I heaved my arm up. It was all I could do to hold it upright. My father took it out of my hand and rolled the cylinder. "This is where the bullets go," he said. "When you pull the trigger, the chambers move." He paused. "Do you want to play with it?" he finally said, and I nodded. "Don't pull the trigger." I went to the window and pointed the gun at the two flats next door. I looked at my father. He was watching me, but he said nothing. I went over to the bed, and then I hid behind it, and then I popped up quickly and aimed. My father said nothing. I put the gun in my pocket, and I jerked it out, fast draw. My father said, "Are you done?" I nodded, and I handed him the gun. He turned, and he went to the safe. As he was locking the gun away, he said, "There, now you don't have to be figuring out how to get it all the time." His words stunned me. It was not because they were critical or unkind. They were not. They were said in a completely matter-of-fact voice. There was no judgment in what he said. There was something far more shocking than judgment. There was truth. And he goes on to say that I was a junior hypocrite because without even realizing it, I was planning all along, watching every move that he made to someday take that key, unlock the safe, and take the gun and play with it. And I think it's a helpful, nuanced look at what goes on, at least in my heart and in my life sometimes. We have these gospels that we hear week in and week out. We know that the law is something that in the Old Testament was loved by the people of God, but we also know that it could become an obsession and it could be placed above the welfare of individuals and of human beings and of the community. But believe me, if you've ever traveled to another country, like take Lima, Peru, and watch the traffic jams that happen there because people don't respect the law the way we do here, It's amazing, and it's not to make a judgment about them. It's simply to say that this really is a country that respects the laws. I remember being in Calcutta, India, and I'm glad I had extra underwear with me because every time you come to a stop or whenever there's a few yards, a truck would make its way in, and they drive on the wrong side of the street, so everything seems to be coming right at you, and so it's amazing when there's not the kind of order that follows from respecting the law and loving it. But Jesus is pointing out to the Pharisees who forgot about the reason for the law and the way in which it can help a society to be well ordered and also can help a society to draw close to the living God. He points out to them that their hearts are far from God, even though they're going through all the motions. So it's really important for us to examine in our own hearts, are we just going through the motions, or are our hearts really in this true religion? As St. James tells us, it's beautiful, those beautiful words, religion is pure and undefiled before God and the Father if it is this, to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. As this is not meant to be political in any way. It's simply to say, as citizens of this great country, we know it's not perfect yet. We must be good and faithful citizens and take that responsibility seriously, not only for our own sake, but we affect, influence the whole world as well. So during these days, can make fun of the Republicans and the Democrats, but there's serious business that's taking place as well. And look for people that are not hypocrites, and not those who have a false sincerity, but those who by their deeds and by their actions let us know that they really mean to serve the welfare, not just of their own families and their own group or their own party, but the welfare of this entire country, and not just this country, but the welfare of others around the world as well. To care for the widow and the orphan in their afflictions and to keep ourselves unstained by the world is to let the primary influence in our lives be God's grace, God's love, God's wonderful call to us to be first and foremost citizens of the kingdom of God, and then let other things flow from that.